following was produced by Pirate Radio Studios Incorporated in Memphis, Tennessee.
Hello, my name is Rick Cheddar, and this is From Radioland. Greetings, salutations, hello, hey, how's it going? Welcome to another episode from Radioland. Yes, episode 189. Wow, we're creeping up on that 200 mark here. That'll happen here. What, about 12 weeks? Yeah, well, whatever the case is. I quit counting the seasons and the all that business because it just seems sort of pointless since we do it every week. I started earlier that way thinking I was, you know, I didn't think the show was going to last as long as it did. But it happened. It started out as a way for me to, I don't know, talk about the experiences that I had with working for the Evil Empire, you see, which now is really sort of a moot point. There's hardly anybody with that company anymore. There's talk that they will probably be done by the end of the year. Bankruptcy is a hell of a thing. And, well, you know, somebody who has a company who has taken their taking their business model into turning it into raping and pillaging and leaving the corpse on the side of the road, which is what they've done to the fair business that is broadcast. But nevertheless, that's not. But that's the point. I started doing this show because of that. A lot of people were like, "Hey, I think you should like write a book." I don't have the patience for that. First of all, second of all, I'm a better speaker than I am a writer. So it just made sense for me to just sit here and just tell you stories about it from time to time. And over the course of the years, this show has just evolved into whatever it is now. I don't know what, and it's constantly changing. It's slowed on the change, but there's constant stuff that's coming in and out and trying to get things done. My personal production schedule has gotten to the point now where it's almost too difficult to sit down and do it, to be quite frank with you. I've got so much that goes on, and I enjoy doing that. That's why I'm still doing it, I suppose. But I got to change up my plan here or something. I don't know. I got to do something, you know, because really, you know, another reason why this show was happening was it sounds silly, but I needed some sort of sense of self-worth, you know. I needed to feel as though what I was doing was worth it. And I never really considered, you know, the real value of it. It has helped me tremendously as a broadcaster. It has made my life so much easier in a lot of other things. And I've made some good friends along the way, which is, you know, which is pretty cool. I dig that. It's important that you have that, you know, it really is. And it's important to have a sense of worth. I've run into that a lot with entertainers specifically. We all have that. God, what am I doing? Is first of all, what in God's name am I doing? And second of all, does it really matter? Does anybody care? Well, yeah, there is that. And, you know, we don't have to go too far to find that a lot of people do care about this show. And for that, I'm eternally grateful. Don't get me wrong. I think it's wonderful. I'm thrilled about that. And having that sense of worth is important. And I've run into people, you know, musicians, comics, stand-up guys, one-man show type people, you know, people that walk in the same shoes as I. And especially the ones that are older, the seniors, if you will, the guys that have been doing it far longer than I have. And there is that ever-present nagging feeling of, I still have something to do. I still have something to say. I have to have that sense of worth. The world may have passed me by in a lot of other aspects, but I'm still relevant. Damn it. I get it. I totally get it. I don't hear that. I hear tick fucking talk. That's what I hear. I hear the clock ticking. Nobody knows how much time we've got until the great leveler comes and puts us in the boneyard boogie. But the point of the matter is that if you don't have that sense of worth, then nothing positive will be accomplished. That's the point of it. If you don't get that sense of worth accomplished, then you're it's horrible. It's a horrible way to live. You know, I meet people of all walks of life, and we all have it. You have it. I have it. Your neighbor has it. The guy sitting across the room from you has it. I mean, it's you. There's that wonder. There's that sense of, God, am I doing the right thing? Or you look back and go, God, did I really waste all this time doing this? Oh, I could have been an astronaut. No, probably not. You know, I think we do the things that we do in our lives because we have sort of been led to them. I don't necessarily want to think of it as a supernatural thing by any means, but I think we all have our skill sets, you know. I could never be, for example, I could never be a plumber. There's nothing wrong with that. That's a very noble institution. These guys make a lot of money. I know this because I've had to pay one. They do the Lord's work, you know. They're the ones that are putting up with stuff that you and I mostly are not going to do. And I have great admiration for those guys. But I don't know that I could do that line of work because I'm not that smart when it comes to understanding how all that works. And I'm certainly not patient enough to keep that going. So my hat's off to the guys that do that, the plumbers, the electricians. That's something else, man. Watch an electrician who knows what he's doing. Watching him work is fun because a guy like me is going to sit there and go, this guy's either going to fix my problem or he's going to die in my presence. One of the two. I've never seen one do the latter. I haven't seen one, you know, shock the shit out of himself and drop dead in my presence. So, you know, there's that. So I have a lot of admiration for guys that could do that. Could I do it? Hell no. I'm scared to death, man. The most electrical thing I can do is plug something into the wall. And even then, there's always that hesitation of, is this thing going to shock me? You know, or if I'm unplugging something, that's another one, because there's that moment of time when the two prongs or three prongs are still in the outlet, but you can see them and you're thinking, my finger could slip right now and it'd be dead. I'd just turn into just a fried pork chop right here, you know, in my living room. So, no, there's just certain things that are better off writing a check for. Electricians are one of them. But could I do that work? Hell no. No way. And I admire anybody who does. And why do these guys do what they do? Well, are they led to it? Possibly. They obviously enjoy doing it. I haven't run into too many people who are, in essence, self-employed, who feel as though that they hate their work. It's like anything else. When you're self-employed, you take the good with the bad. And that's the same way with me, being self-employed, running your own company. There's something to be said for it. And there's people that will say that to me. They're like, I don't know how you do it. I couldn't do it. There are people that like the stability of working for somebody else. And, you know, but that's just it. I've done that too. I don't know that I could sit in a under the guise of a corporate environment and feel like I have any worth. And that's always been a fear of mine, is that if you wind up in a soul sucking job because you have to, then that becomes a problem. And then one of the first things that goes is your sense of worth. It's tragic. I see that a lot. I talk to people who are in these jobs that they hate. Hate's maybe even kind of too strong of a word, or not strong enough, as the case may be. But they feel as though they have no choice. And it's like, yes, I go to work. It's 9 to 5. I go to my cubicle. I push the paper. They give me a check. On Fridays, I get drunk. And I stay that way till Monday morning. And I continue to do this because this is all I've got. It's all I can do. And that's, I don't know, it's kind of sad. It is. I get it. I do get it. I know why people wind up in those jobs. And I know that they do it. But I just hate it when I get the sense that people are losing their self-worth. It's like you're cashing in your dream for nothing. So it's like, I've said this before, like, speaking of dreams, when you go and buy a lottery ticket, you spend a buck, you're buying a dream. That's really what you're buying. Yeah, there's a chance. What, 1 in 22 billion are the odds, or something to that effect? You're buying a dream because you're sitting there going, what if? What if I do hit it? Wow, what would we do? I would pay off the house, buy a new car, I'd buy a nice gift for mom and dad, take a trip, quit my job, whatever the case may be. I don't know that I'd quit my job if I won it. I don't play the lottery, so, you know, I've done it a time or two, it just because, you know, the wife, it's funny, it goes, well, I don't play it until it gets up to about $400 million. I don't get into it until it's like, you know, $400 million, because I don't want to be bothered with the little, you know, $20 million prize. That's just paltry. That's cab fare, just $20 mil, please. Really? So if somebody just bequeathed you $20 million, you'd be going, no. Come at me when you got like $400 and then we'll talk. You greedy bastard. I only play the lottery until there's really serious money at stake here. That's an odd way to think of it, but hey, you know, whatever turns your crank, I guess. But it's the same thing. Working a dead-end job is like holding on to that lottery ticket, thinking that someday it's going to cash in. Someday my ship will come and I'll be done with all of this, and I can walk away and be free. Yeah, I guess so. There's something to be said for freedom. There's something to be said for hard work. And there's something to be said for what it is that we do. I think it defines us to a certain extent.
Well, I know Rick. He's a radio guy. Hey, can you get me some tickets to Bob Seger?
No. You know, there's Freddie. He's a comptroller for a major corporation. He sits in a cubicle and he takes a piece of paper and it goes from one hand to the next and then to another box. Is that how he's defined? Are we all defined like that? That's just how that goes. Hence is why this is why I think a lot of us have so many strange extracurricular activities. For a lot of you, Facebook, pardon me, Facebook and social media is your hobby. That's sad, dude. You know, get outside.
Well, it's sociable. That's why it's called social media, so I can talk to my friends.
The only time I've used it is now, it's to the point now where I'm either promoting this or my job. Because, you know, you have to. Because I'm a shameless whore that way. Or I'll write something incredibly tacky. Or not even tacky, but food for thought. I wrote today, boycotting the NFL because players are exercising their First Amendment rights. How about boycotting the NFL because the sport blows? I write these things, you see, as what is called the conversational hand grenade. We've talked about that before. I get a charge out of doing that. I like to pull the pen and set it down on the table and watch people go crazy. Somebody wrote, this just came in, First Amendment rights should not include disrespecting the flag. That's why it's called the First Amendment, sweetheart. And they're just typing away. Got a lot of people liking it, which is good. I mean, but that's what I want. I want people to think. Don't be told your opinion. You know, don't be told your opinion. Form your own opinion and then speak about it if you'd like, or don't. That's the gist of life. That's what makes this work. It's what makes it work for all of us. So it's having fun on my end, posting something like that to make people, you know, think. And that's what makes it work. And in essence, it's really all about balance. It's we have to find the balance in our lives, and whether we find it by poking it with a stick, like I like to do, or we say something of import that is being helpful, which I also like to do, or being a complete asshole, which sometimes I'd like to do that as well. Is that for me a sense of worth? Yeah, sure. I feel like if I don't say it, somebody has to. Somebody has to say these things. Why not me? I don't have a problem. It's that whole, I love it when people say, you know, that filter that you have,
that keeps you from saying things in public that you shouldn't say. Well, I don't have that. Yet they think they don't, but they do, because they're still cowards. They just like to broadcast that. I say it because I don't give a shit. I really don't. I quit giving a shit a long time ago. And when I did that, when I realized that I had, as the old saying goes, zero fucks to give, then it made my life so much easier, because then I wasn't so concerned with, you know, what other people were thinking. I mean, yeah, I show some couth, obviously. There's a time and a place for everything. But having said that, you know, I don't be offensive. I try and be helpful by any means, any stretch of the imagination. That's what you have to do. But at the same time, you know, somebody's going to sit there in my presence and drone on and on and on about how wonderful the President of the United States is, unsolicited, then my response is the exact opposite, and how he's not. And they think the man's an embarrassment, and blah, 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 blah. That's not what this show's about.
I don't like you because you just disrespected Trump.
Then fine, piss off. There's a lot of things that I say that people would be, I don't know, naturally offended by, perhaps, or that they agree with. And the ones that don't like it, they can move along. That's fine. There's a lot of things in this world I don't like, and I don't follow them. I don't pay that close attention to them. I keep enough of an eye on them so I can, you know, kind of keep up what's going on. You have to. You have to do that. That's what creates a well-informed intention. If you don't, you're gonna run into trouble each and every time. But it does boil back to that sense of worth. What is it that we have, and is it of any value to anybody? And that real sense of worth is not measured in money. I know that. Because really, what we all want to do is give our thing away. We do what we do to give it away. This show is, this is a prime example of it. None of you have paid anything to listen to this. I wouldn't charge you for it. There was a time when I thought about it. Maybe I should make this a subscription-based show. You want to hear what I have to say? Pay me, motherfucker. No, I wasn't going to do that. Now, there might be the occasional, and we've worked on this before, but there might be a time when I'm on stage or something like that, and you come to a show to make that work. Yes, you'll have to pay for a ticket to get into that sort of thing. But this little weekly nonsense, no, you'll always get it for nothing, because that's the way we roll. That's how it works. You give it away. And that's the worth, because I've got something that I can do that I can give. Yeah, we could make money off of it. We could sell some more ads. There's always room for that. And I know y'all don't mind. But that's a good thing. It's why we live in the world that we live in. And it's important for us to try and get along. But it's also important for us to not be just a drone, you know, not the thing that flies around. I'm talking about just being another ant in a colony. Sometimes we all feel that we're just insignificant, tiny little ants that are doing somebody else's work, because that's the way we live. Nope. Life's too short for that. You got to get out. You got to smell the roses. Go stand in the rain for a little while. Go do something. Give it away once you've done it. And continue on. I think that's important. I could be wrong, but I do believe that's kind of the important things of why we live, right? If we get lucky and are able to pull in a few dollars to buy a nice glass of beer or to go to a show, then I think that's the bonus. That's kind of what makes it work. Instead of getting up, washing our faces, getting dressed, and going to be another ant in the colony. I can see where that sense of self-worth gets destroyed. And nobody wants that. I get it. I totally get it. Life's hard, and then you continue on with what you do.
Here's what's coming up on the next episode from Radioland with Rick Cheddar.
Yeah, I remember planking. Remember that thing? Whatever happened to planking? hey, look, I'm going to lay Strat on my stomach and you can take a picture of me doing it because it's cool. Now it's been replaced with dabbing. That's what the kids are doing. I've never understood all that, but still. Well, listen to the crunchy old bastard over here who doesn't get what the kids are doing. You know what I wish would go away? People taking pictures of their food. That needs to go away. Christ almighty. Nobody can photograph food well. It makes it... You just want to go, God damn, are you going to actually eat that plate of shit? Really, that looks horrifying to me. Don't eat that. It might kill you. Besides, there's some hungry people in India right now going, holy cow, look, there's a picture of food. They have so much food, they have to take pictures of it. Ah, I have to eat cow dung just to get by every day. I know, it's a horrible accent, but still, hey, whatever.
For previous episodes, go to radio-memphis.com. To download episodes to your mobile device, search the show in iTunes, player.fm, stitcher.com, Pocket Cast, or TuneIn. And now, here's more with Rick Cheddar from Radioland.
Oh, my Jesus. Okay, it's time to get into some music, shall we? We've gotten a flood of it down at the radio station, which is good. It comes in spurts, much like me. Okay, that was bad, I know. But still, back to the music. We get a lot of it. And here of late, we've been hit pretty hard with some good stuff, too. And it's, you know, it's just keeping it all in motion is the thing. And which means that a lot of that stuff is going to filter its way over here. And we, you know, as you know, we feature one artist, one song each episode of From Radioland. So you can sample the goods if you'd like. And then find us over at radio-memphis.com. And you can hear all this stuff all the time.
How is that for a promo?
This one is a good one. This guy's a friend of mine. He's too. He's really good. I'm proud to know him. He's a fantastic songwriter, great musician. His name is JD Rieger, and he's got a new song here for you. And we're gonna play it for you right now. It's called Cold Shoulder. So here it is from Radioland. Cool tune from JD Rieger. Mr. Rieger himself, if you please. Cold Shoulder is the name of the song. He plays quite a bit around, especially around the Midtown area. Go find him. I believe he's over at Shangri-La Records. So if you're looking to buy some vinyl or some CDs or something to that effect, there's an old school record store here in town in Midtown. It's over on Madison. There's a free plug for you. It's called Shangri-La Records. Step in there and go get you some music, because it's a good thing, right? That's a fantastic thing to do. So quit downloading all that stuff, you newfangled people, hippie. Get off my lawn. I know sometimes I feel like I'm just cranky and crotchety old guy, but God, I fear what happens to me in my older age. I've always said that. Of course, I'm sitting here right now wearing a shirt that has the word fuck written on it about 40 times. So I got that going for me.
Do you actually wear that in public?
Yes, ma'am, I do. Under a shirt. Under another one. Sometime I'll show it to you sometime. Hey, why not? All right, kids, that's it for me. You've heard what's coming up next time. In the meantime, y'all take care of yourselves. Take care of one another. For Christ's sake, stop shooting each other. And until next time, we'll see you then. I'm Rick Cheddar, and this has been From Radioland.
Cheddar from Radioland is produced by Pirate Radio Studios Incorporated, Memphis, Tennessee. All music performed during this episode was used by permission. No part of this program can be rebroadcast or used in any other way except by written consent. For bookings and other inquiries, you can write the show by sending an email to radioland@pirateradiostudios.com. For more, go to radio-memphis.com.